The monsoon swept down from the mountain overnight. Ramana could hear them in his sleep like warm, dull thunder on the roof, or the knocking of the gods. It was loud enough to make him restless, but not to wake him up completely. He had dim thoughts of closing the window by his bed. He remembered the small hole in the roof that needed a bucket underneath to catch the drip. Yet, for some reason, he couldn't feel rain splashing from the windowsill and heard no dripping sound. Strange, he thought drowsily. The dull thunder continued hour after hour. Too many hours. Ramana opened his eyes, flicking his gaze to the windowsill and the place under the hole in the roof. Both were dry. Where was the water? Why was it thundering? Then he knew. It was the gods knocking. Death had come like the monsoons, the season of year Ramana loved the best. He wasn't surprised that he could still feel his body or that the room was intact. His old master, who had died 6 years ago, told him how things would be. 6 years, could that be right? Suddenly, Ramana couldn't remember how old he was himself. 75? 80? This confusion triggered a change. His body began to feel lighter, as if age were slipping away. No, that wasn't it. He was rising. The whole room was rising, in fact. And the dull thunder began to fade. Ramana wondered if he was about to disappear, but the world saved him the trouble by disappearing first. He had never much believed in the world, so this didn't surprise him. For one last moment, he was still in bed, looking out the window at a sky that turned from blue to a soft white, and then there was only whiteness and no room. He looked down and his body was gone too. It had slipped away so easily that he was reminded of something his master had told him. The body is like a cloak. For the enlightened, dying is like letting the cloak fall to the floor. For the unenlightened, it is like ripping off a cloak that is sewn on. What would slip away next, and how easy would that be? Ramana became aware that he could still pose mental questions, so his mind hadn't left him. He saw himself as a boy of 12 when he first met his master, who lived in the same forest retreat that became his after the master died. The old man sitting in lotus position on a worn deerskin had said, "Do you want to learn from me?" The boy nodded. "Is it because your parents think it would be a good thing?" The boy nodded again. Then the master waved his hand, sending Ramana's parents out of the room. When they were alone, the master had said, "Come to me when it's your desire, not that of your parents." "Why?" Ramana asked. "My parents only want what's good for me." "That's not enough," the master replied. "You can't be with me and remain like ordinary people. Ordinary people need the support of family, or they would die of loneliness. They need the support of society, or they would have no friends or spouse. They need the support of their bodies, or they would starve. And most of all, they need the support of their minds, or they would go crazy." "I don't see why you're telling me this," said Ramana. "Because if you lose family, friends, your body and your mind, all of which you must, I don't want you to die. I want you to be free." The boy didn't come back for 10 years, and even then the master laughed and said he had been quick about it. "After what I told you, most people would stay away forever." During this period, as a disciple, Ramana had found the teaching difficult. He had often stumbled but never fell. Everything his master foretold came true. The time came, one stage after another, when the disciple no longer needed the support of his family. But this wasn't a loss, because he now saw them with great compassion. He didn't need the support of society, but this wasn't a loss, because he saw himself as part of all humanity. He didn't need the support of his physical body, but this wasn't a loss, because his body took care of itself better when he stopped worrying about it.